Okay, let's get cracking. We are going to be continuing to learn the third parak of Maseches Peh. We're going to be finishing up the third parak today with Parak Gimel, Mishnah Ches. And then we're going to begin Parak Dalet with Parak Dalet, Mishnah Aleph. This Mishnah is going to be continuing the previous theme that we were discussing of situations where any amount of land matters for whatever we're discussing, for whatever the particular area of halacha is. So here we go, Parak Gimel, Mishnah Ches. Hakosev Nechasev La'avdo. If a person writes a shtar, writes a document to his slave, saying that you serve and you're my servant and you get all of my possessions, all of my nechasim. Now, we should just realize, in talking about this Mishnah, that while it's true that we used to have slaves in the olden days when it came to Judaism, we should just know that it's a very different type of slavery than if you learn, let's say, American history and learn about slavery in the South or a lot of other types of slavery that have existed in the world. The Jews would treat our slaves really well, with a lot of respect and a lot of dignity, and it was a completely different type of slavery than what we learned perhaps in other areas of history. But says our Mishnah, if a person writes this document to his slave saying, you have all of my possessions, Yatza ben Chor, and says the Tanakhama, he would go free. Why would the slave go free? So the Bartanura explains, because the slave is included in the possessions of his master. And if the master is saying, you have all my possessions, that also means that he has himself. So he would go free if his master gives him such a document. Shiyer karka kolshehu. But if the master leaves any amount of land, and again, that's why this Mishnah is here, because we're talking about a case where any amount of land is left over, lo yatza ben chorin, the slave would not go free. Ben chorin, I'm sure many of us know from the Seder that we're acting as bnei chorin, as free people at the Seder. Ben chorin means as a free person, but says the Mishnah, if the master leaves any amount of land for himself, then lo yatza ben chorin, the slave, would not go free. Why would that be? So the Bartanura explains, because by leaving any amount of land, where the master sort of making it unclear, maybe he also meant to include his slave in what he was keeping for himself. And therefore, by leaving any amount of land, he's showing that maybe the slave is still a slave, and therefore, says the Tanakhama, lo yatza ben chorin, the slave would not go free if the master leaves any amount of land for himself. Continues the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon, Omer Rabbi Shimon says, and he disagrees a little bit with the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon says, La'olam hu ben chorin, the slave is certainly free. If the master leaves a little land for himself, okay, he left land for himself, but he still didn't leave the slave for himself, so the slave would really be free if the master left land for himself. However, Achi Yomar, unless the master said, Hare kol nechasai nesunin le'ish ploni avdi, unless he said, all of my possessions are being given to so-and-so, my slave, chutz me'achad me'ribo shebahen, except for one ten-thousandth of my possession, if the master said that, then the slave would still be a slave. Why would that be? So the Bartanura points out, because we're concerned that maybe the slave is still included in that 1/10,000th, even if maybe he's worth more than that, as long as he said that there's a percentage, an amount of my nechasim, an amount of my possessions that still belong to me, says Rabbi Shimon, the slave would still be a slave and he would not be free, unlike the Tanakhama, who said that even if he left land, then we assume that perhaps the slave's included in that. So Rabbi Shimon disagrees with that, but Rabbi Shimon still says that if the master left any amount, a number, a percentage, a fraction of his possessions for himself, then the man would still be a slave. Now we begin with Perek Dalid, Mishnah Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Ha-peya nitenes v'mechuba lekark, and this is a halacha that we already know, that generally speaking, peya is given, is collected by the poor people when the crops are still attached to the ground. But says the Mishnah, we're going to give a few exceptions where that's not the case, where the owner actually distributes the items, distributes the crops to the poor people. Says the Mishnah, Bidalis uvedekel, when it comes to a grapevine or a date palm, different types of trees or vines, Bal habayis moru mechalik la'aniyim. Says the Mishnah, under those circumstances, the Bal habayis, the owner of the field, wouldn't just leave them there for the aniyim to take them, rather they would, the Bal habayis, the owner would take down the fruits and distribute them and give them out to the aniyim. Why is that? Because it's dangerous. You have these, big vines or big date palm trees. It's dangerous for these poor people to be running and fighting and arguing and trying to get it all for themselves. It's much better if the owner distributes them, right? It's just like, if you think about it, like when I run my camp, right? So either I can just throw up the, you know, Hershey Park tickets and let everyone just fight for them, or no, I can, you know, distribute them and give them to the counselors and so on. It's a much more civilized way of doing things. And certainly here, with these types of trees, it would be dangerous to have the Aniyim just come and run and try to grab them for themselves. Rabbi Shimon says, and he's going to add another exception to this rule, af bechaliki goes, even when it comes to a walnut tree. Walnut trees have very smooth trunks, the Bartanura says, and therefore it's dangerous. They're going to try to climb up these smooth trunks. It's not going to work. Therefore, the owner of the field should distribute them and to the aniyim in a safe way. Finishes off the Mishnah, going back to the first line of the Mishnah. Afilu tishim v'tisha omrim l'chalik v'achad omer lavoz. Says the Mishnah, even if you have 99 of the poor people and they're saying l'chalik, separate them, give them out. Don't make us come and grab them. V'achad omer lavoz. But one of the poor people, there are 100 of them, 99 say, please distribute them, give them out. But v'echad omer lavoz, but one of the poor people says, nah, I want to grab them, I want to fight for them, I want to go grab them by other crops. Lazesh Shoman says, the Mishnah, we listen to this one poor person, sha'amar ka'halacha, because he's saying what the halacha is, like the Mishnah began by saying, ha'peh nitenas, b'mechubar l'karka, that pay is generally given from fruits that are attached to the ground, and therefore that's the halacha by most things. The Mishnah gave us a few exceptions to that, but generally speaking, the poor people have to come, they have to collect it on their own, and therefore if one person, just one of them, once says that we want to follow the halacha, that's what we want to do, then that's what we got to do, and we don't distribute them, we don't allow the owner of the field to distribute them to the aniyim. But what the Mishnah seems to be implying here, though, is that if, by some chance, all of the poor people are like, you know what, it's too much, it's too crazy, we're not all coming, and we're not all, you know, going to grab the fruits, let's just be chill, let's just allow the owner to distribute them in a fair way, then it seems to be implied from our Mishnah that even though generally we allow the poor people to go and get them, if all the poor people agree that they'll have them distributed, then that is what will happen. Quick review. Perek Gimel, Mishnah Ches, discussed a situation where an owner writes all of his nechasim, all of his possessions to his servant, a bit of a machlokas between Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon regarding what, regarding under what circumstances we allow the slave to go free. Under according to the Tanakama, if he leaves any amount of land, then he's not going to go free because perhaps the slave's included in the land as well. Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says, no, if he leaves land for himself, he left land for himself, but he didn't leave the slave for himself. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, no, the only time that we would keep the slave as a slave is if he doesn't specify what is what he's keeping, but he simply says a certain percentage, one-tenth or 1/100th of my possessions are going to stay with me. We don't know who's included in that. We're concerned, says Rabbi Shimon, perhaps the slave is, and therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, the slave would remain a slave if the owner left an unspecified percentage of his property that he's going to keep. And then Perek Dalet, Mishnah Aleph, taught us the halacha again about peah, that peah has to be, generally speaking, given when it's mechubar l'karka, when it's attached to the ground, that's when the aniyim come and collect it. The Mishnah gave us two to three exceptions to that rule, when perhaps we say that no, that we allow the owner of the field to distribute, when it's dangerous for all the aniyim to just come and all the poor people to come and run and grab the fruits themselves. And then the Mishnah is concluded by saying that perhaps, if all of the aniyim agree that they're happy, if all the poor people agree that they're happy for the owner of the field to distribute it to them, then perhaps that would work. But if only one of them, if even one of the poor people say, no, we want to grab the food, we want to get the crops for ourselves, then we would allow that to happen as well. Have a great day.